Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Jesus often used the commonplace, everyday events to convey his great spiritual truths. Especially was this true with use of the parables. But the prophets also used things that people already understood in the daily affairs of life to teach the will of God. One such effort was in the teaching through Jeremiah. Jeremiah 8, 1 through 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel which he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so ye are in mine hand, O house of Israel. Visualize, as best you can, a small room where there is a large horizontal potter's wheel and the equipment necessary to do his work. There would be a water basin. There'd be different kinds of clay. Some would be of very high quality, no sand or dirt that might cause it to crack or dissolve. It may be surprising to know that the finest china dishes, as well as the roughest pottery, is made from clay, but clay of different quality. Nearby you might see the baking ovens into which the molded vessels once formed were placed. In the heat of the oven the vessel would harden, or if it's not of good quality, possibly crack and break into pieces. The fire, you see, is to test the power and the quality of the clay, to improve its worth and to perfect it as a vessel. And from this room we might pass into a display room where there are shelves lined with pottery. Some of it would be beautiful and decorative. Others would be both beautiful but useful. Some would not be so attractive, but would have maybe some degrees of usefulness, but other vessels might neither be beautiful or useful. In back of the house, you might find a pile of broken pottery that's been mired and no longer of any benefit, only waiting to be hauled away. Now, having seen the rooms and the equipment for the making of pottery and noting the clay, let us turn our attention to the potter. If he is a master craftsman, he will have some years of experience. He knows how to use the clay. He knows how to make the best vessel possible out of each kind of clay. He's skilled at his work. He selects the best for vessels of beauty and use. He does the best that he can with the lesser quality clay. And if the pottery breaks, it is cast away. Not due to any fault of the potter, but the fault of the clay. Now, having this picture before us, let us learn the spiritual lesson that God was teaching through Jeremiah. Let's see how this lesson is also applicable to us today. Isaiah used this same circumstance to say, But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art our potter. We are all the work of thy hand. Isaiah 54 and verse 8. The potter is God. The clay is man. And just as there are different qualities of the clay, so it is with men. Some are useful to the potter and are of great value. Some are of little value. Some are quite useless. This same manner of distinction is presented in the parable taught by Jesus in Matthew 13, the parable of the sowing of the seed. The seed, which is the word of God, fell into different kinds of soil. Some fell on the wayside, and it could not come up. Some fell on thorny ground. It came up and was choked. Some fell into stony ground, and it came up, but it did not take root. Others fell into good ground and produced fruit, And even the seeds that fell into good ground produced differently because the good ground was of varying quality. Some brought forth 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. The parable of the talents is another instance showing the different qualities and talents of people. One man had 5 talents, another 2, but another had but 1. As like the kinds of soil, or how many talents, or the kind of clay, largely depends on ourselves, and how we are to be useful and submissive to the working of the potter. We can be good clay, or we can be useless clay. Clay will always be just clay until it is molded by the potter. Now the baking oven is like the proving ground of life. The pressures, the suffering, the hardships, the temptations, abuses, they will either refine us into greater characters, or we may crack and fall to pieces. You know, some become so broken that they're worthy only to be cast out. The display room shows the finished products of our lives. The finest thing a vessel can do is to bring honor and glory to the potter. The finest thing that we can do in life is to bring glory and honor to God. Even so, let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21. Friend, let's notice in the last passage, where Paul speaks of 2 kinds of vessels, one to honor, one to dishonor. In the Bible we read of those who have brought dishonor on themselves and on God. Please take note of the nation of Israel. God promised Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation. By his son Isaac, then Jacob, and the 12 sons of Jacob came the nation of Israel. They were tried in the fires of Egyptian bondage and in the wilderness wanderings. Time and time again the clay revealed defects and mars. The history of Israel was splotched with apostasy until both Israel and southern Judah were carried away into captivity. In these things they proved themselves to be vessels to dishonor. And look at the man Samson. He was a giant of a man in physical strength. He seemed at first to be good clay. His enemies feared his strength, but as he was physically strong, he was also morally weak. And his weakness allowed him to be marred at the potter's wheel. Think with me of Saul, the first king of Israel. He's an example of marred clay. He began his reign with such promise. A fine specimen of manhood he was at the start. But his own stubbornness, his pride, his self-will dissipated his leadership and his opportunities until he became a broken vessel, even taking his own life at Mount Gilboa. Even King Solomon might be cited as a vessel unto dishonor, though there were honorable things about him also. But with his great wisdom, he nonetheless allowed himself to be carried into idolatry. Having inherited a strong and united nation from his father David, he left a weak and divided nation to his son Rehoboam. And under Rehoboam, the nation actually broke into 2 nations, never to be reunited again. But the Bible also tells us of vessels of honor. Consider the man Joseph, both in his boyhood and in his manhood. At the age of 17, he was sold as a slave into Egypt by his very own kin. He was falsely accused, he was imprisoned, he was persecuted, he was misunderstood, he was neglected. Nonetheless, he retained his sense of integrity and honesty, his moral purity. He remained faithful to God, even though he was tried in the many ovens of life. And his life closes with one of the great successes. It stands as one of the most Christ-like Old Testament persons of whom we read. Particularly is this true regarding his forgiving spirit. Yes, Joseph was good clay molded by the potter. And let's look at the good quality of Daniel. Even as a young man, he was subjected to great pressures and temptations. In a strange land as a captive, his loyalty to the Lord and his law stands a memorial to the high quality of people men are capable of becoming. In the many tests that he endured, the plots against him, the lion's den, from his youth until his last years, he showed himself to be good clay. And there are so many New Testament characters to which we could point as good clay, molded by the potter. There was John the Baptist, the apostles except Judas, Peter and James and John and Paul, and so many worthy women of the Bible like Ruth and Esther and Dorcas. And what of Naomi and Lydia? They're all examples of good clay at the potter's wheel. All completely yielded themselves to the will of the potter, and they are known for their great faithfulness and for their service before God. Now, in a sense, each of us is a piece of clay, and our quality is determined by our willingness to obey God, to submit to his molding, to allow ourselves to be worked by the fingers of the great potter. We shall enter into the fires of sorrow and temptation and disappointment and other matters that seemingly try the souls of men. But after a while, our life will be finished, and we will either be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. Now, our goal is to be a useful vessel, both here and in the hereafter. The question before each one of us is, shall we bring glory and honor to God? Or shall we be such that he will dispose of us and cast us out as clay that is useless to his service? There's a beloved hymn that asks the question, "Have thine own way, Lord." The sentiments of that song has special meaning to so many of us. The sentiments of that verse, "Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded, and still." This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.